This morning, before we move on, just a few announcements to highlight. We're not going to have a regular Sunday night service. Spend time with your family on this fantastic Easter Resurrection Sunday. Friends and family, just share the love of Christ. This Thursday night, I'll reference this again later on, but I'm going to be sharing on evidence that supports the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you know that He really rose from the dead? I mean, He really did, okay? If you could just see the picture on the front, I mean, if we could just get this in our hearts and realize that He did, okay? He really did. Do we have to take that on blind faith? No. You know why? Because if it happens, you would think that people would have seen it happen. You would think it would be documented in places outside of the Bible, wouldn't you? You would expect that if He really rose from the dead and everybody was clamoring in Jerusalem, surprised, that somebody who wasn't a Christian would have wrote it down. Guess what you don't hear on the Discovery Channel? That somebody who wasn't a Christian wrote it down. Guess what? Somebody wrote it down. Hear me? There's evidence that builds a case for the real resurrection of Jesus Christ that happened at one particular time, at one place. Listen, His body was there and then it wasn't there again. It really happened. It really happened. I don't know about you, but if I was going to start my own religion, I wouldn't have included a physical resurrection. If I was just going to start my own religion, we would have just said, well, His body's there, but He really rose spiritually. Because that's easier, right? You don't have to worry about somebody finding it. If you're going to make it up, you wouldn't come up with a bodily resurrection of Christ, would you? That's ridiculous. You wouldn't have to. You're creating your own religion. You can say whatever you want. But truth is, He did rise. He did rise. That's why it's there. It really happened. This Thursday night, I'm going to be sharing at 7 o'clock. Listen, if you doubt the historicity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I invite you to attend. If you're able to attend and you don't come because you just don't want to, I don't want you to any longer go on and say, there's no proof for the resurrection. There's proof, and if you come, we will share that with you this Thursday night. If you're unable to, just to let you know, in the future, we're going to be putting that message along with others on our website. You can download it on your iPod or whatever if you're not able to attend. But if you are, I want to encourage you to come out for that Thursday night. A few other things. Thursday as well, we have a kids' service. And for the men want to do something in our church, right? Who wants to go do something fun? We've never done anything as men. Listen, the women have been getting together, having a good time. We're not allowed to go to the women's meeting. We're not. Nobody's putting on a dress and trying either. Okay, we're not allowed to do that. But listen, we are allowed to do something ourselves. So May 17th, we're going to see a football game. We're going to see the Philadelphia Soul play the Columbus Destroyers at the WAC Center in Philly, the Wachovia Center. And it's going to be a great time. If you've ever seen arena football on TV, it's good. It's fun. It's way better in person. I've been in person. I've seen it on TV. It's way better in person. Tickets, if we get over 10 guys, is 10 bucks. Tickets are 10 bucks. Who can swing 10 bucks? Like, we can do that, right? We can do that. Keep that in mind. We'll talk in the future about having to order that. Listen, if you have family and friends outside of the church who you want to bring, bring them. I have two guys in this area that own a store. I'm not going to tell you which one because I don't want you to go talk to them about it. But two guys in this area who I talked to about the trip, and they said, we want to go. And I said, we'll get you tickets. You come along. Invite your family and friends, your men. If you're a father and you have a son or a daughter, you can bring them as well. It can be a father-son relationship. We point at Sheila. Bring your wife? Is that what you're saying? I don't know. I don't want to say no, but I don't know. All right, we'll talk. We have time. We'll talk. Amen. Listen, the resurrection really happened. John chapter 20 records the resurrection, and I'm going to show two brief video clips that is Jesus rising from the dead. The first one is revealing himself to Mary. The next one takes place a little bit later in John chapter 20. It's him revealing himself to doubting Thomas. Here's the story, so it makes sense as the clip starts. Jesus revealed himself to Mary. I cut out the scene, but in the middle there, Jesus revealed himself to all the disciples except Thomas. That poor guy was out at Wawa picking up coffee for the rest of the guys. He missed it. He comes back with trays of coffee. Hey, guess what? You just missed it. Jesus was here. Are you kidding me? And you'll see his reaction. He says, I'm not going to believe it until he comes here and I can put my hand in the holes in his hands and touch where he was speared on the side and then I'll believe that it was the Son of God. He wanted real evidence. Listen, there's real evidence. Jesus was a real guy with a real body. Well, join me as we just look briefly and take a peek at Mary's revelation of the risen Christ and immediately following John's revelation.
Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb. And saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. Woman, why are you crying? They asked her.
They've taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him.
Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus.
Well, then why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?
She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him,
he took him away, sir. Tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him.
Mary.
She turned toward him and said in Hebrew,
Rabboni.
This means teacher.
Do not hold on to me. Because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God.
One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord.
Unless I see scars of the nail in his head, and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe.
A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them.
Peace be with you. Put your finger here and look at my hands. And reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting.
My Lord and my God.
Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?
Man, powerful clip. Powerful clip. Listen, John needed proof, and he had proof. You understand, Jesus is not afraid of our doubts. If we come to Him with open hearts, really seeking the truth, listen, He's big. He certainly doesn't need me to defend Him. He's able to defend Himself, and He will reveal Himself to you. I quote the Scripture all the time. It says, if you seek Him, you will find Him, if you seek Him with all of your heart. If you're not looking for God and you don't want to see God, you won't find Him. But if you do seek Him with all of your heart, He shows Himself to you. Thomas had doubts. He had legitimate doubts. And yet he sought the Lord, and the Lord revealed Himself because his heart was there. He wanted the Lord to reveal Himself. He had a real heart. In a second, we're going to turn. You could turn now if you like. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture quickly. This is still playing music. It is playing music. 1 Corinthians 15, 3. We're also going to be looking at 1 Peter. Will be really the thrust of the message today. How many people actually witnessed the resurrection? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 3. How many people were there actually that witnessed the resurrection? Paul writes this. I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. You understand, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that He would die. He would come back to life, raised from the dead. That was prophesied. Paul says, just as it was prophesied in the Old Testament, He did it. Verse 5. He was seen by Peter. And then by the 12. After that, He was seen by more than 500 of His followers. Here's the kicker. At one time. At one time, Jesus showed up, revealed Himself to 500 people. They weren't having individual dreams. They were all there together, broad daylight, 500 people. Saw Him at one time, and Paul says this. Most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Paul's basically saying this, you know what? It was 500 people, and they still live in Jerusalem. Go ask them if you don't believe me. That's a strong statement if he didn't really rise, right? He says he's right up the road. He just came a little bit short of saying, John Smith on 572 First Street, give him a call. Here's his cell phone. He'll be surely glad to tell you. He says, you can go. Go look. They're there. Of course, they're not alive today, but at the time of this writing, they were definitely alive. Verse 7. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. And then Paul includes this. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. What's Paul talking about? Paul was a man who was a devout Jew. He loved God, but he was serving the God of the Old Testament. He didn't believe Jesus to really be the Son of God. Didn't believe it at all. In fact, he was violently mad and opposed to the church. How bad was he opposed? To a point where he went out, got arrest warrants for anyone who was a Christian, went from house to house and said, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead and He's the Son of God? Anyone who said, yeah, Paul would say, arrest them. They would send people in, grab them by their hands and drag them out in chains and haul them off to jail. Sounds like a real deal, right? Side note, that's still happening today around the world. That's still happening in places like China, like Vietnam, like either North or South Korea, the bad one. You know which one that is, right? North, that one. Listen, it's still happening around the world in South America. It's still happening everywhere, and Lord willing, it won't happen here, but I don't know. But the truth is, those people would not back down because Jesus was real. Jesus was so real that as Paul was on his way to Damascus to arrest more people, guess who shows up? Jesus himself shows up, looks at Paul, knocks him down. Paul is blind temporarily, and Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me? Lord, who are you?" "I'm Jesus Christ, the one you are persecuting." Paul wasn't persecuting him, was he? He was persecuting the church, which is his body. We are the body of Christ. Jesus takes it so personal. When you come against one of his believers, you're coming against him. Paul was changed. He went into town. He ended up accepting Jesus. He was filled with the Spirit. His eyes, it says something like scales fell off, the Acts tells us. And he saw. And he was forever changed. The risen Lord revealed himself. Paul said, we just read it, he said, "I shouldn't have even been able to witness the resurrection of the Lord as bad as I was. As much as I persecuted people. As much as I watched Christians die for their faith." And yet Jesus showed up. He was real to him. Listen, the resurrection is real. We celebrate the Lord, right? We celebrate the resurrection. But I want you to know it is real. The next thing I'm going to talk about today is this, the impact of the resurrection. You understand, the resurrection has an impact for your life, right? In other words, it means something. It really matters to you. We love the bunny. Don't get me wrong. We love the Easter bunny. My daughter thinks he broke in our house last night and left us stuff. She thinks I'm best friends with the bunny because he comes to our church. Listen, we love the bunny. At some point, she's going to find out. We'll have to break the news, okay? The bunny's fun. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Somebody asked me, "Is the bunny here today?" No, the bunny was here yesterday. Bunny don't show up on Sunday. Bunny isn't even invited on Sunday. On Sunday, it's all about Jesus. Listen, he's real and it matters for your life. It impacts you, whether you know it or not. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 3. We're not going to be real long today. But 1 Peter 1, verse 3. We just have a few verses we're going to look at. And then I'm going to pray a blessing upon you that you go out and have a fantastic Easter. But we're going to look at this scripture today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. If you have one of our paperback Bibles in the back, you got a page number? 934, if you have one of those Bibles, 934. 1 Peter 1. The impact of the resurrection. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive the salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." This morning, looking at verse 3, the first part, the resurrection impacts our past. If you're taking notes, you can put that down. The resurrection impacts our past. Verse 3 again, the first three quarters of it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been," what? "Born again." Because why? God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, the best news that the world ever received came from a graveyard near Jerusalem. What is that news? Jesus is alive. It says, it's by His great mercy that we have been born again. Our sins have been dealt with because of the cross. Amen? Amen? Our sins have been dealt with because of the cross. The resurrection assures what Calvary secures. The resurrection assures what Calvary what Calvary secures. See, on the cross, we knew that our freedom was paid for from sin because of Christ. The resurrection is a guarantee. We don't have to wonder, did Jesus get the job done? He burst forth from the grave and said, the job is done. Look at me. He said, it is finished on Friday. But on Sunday, he said, boy, is it ever finished. It is, it, right? Amen? Somebody should get excited about that, right? He burst forth. I love that song. Bursting forth on the glorious day. I can't remember the rest of the words, but they're good. Look them up later. Bobby sang it today. Listen, it's good stuff. The Lord rose from the dead. The resurrection impacts our past. Why? Because there is salvation through Christ. Let your eyes glance at verse 2 before we just read. Paul said we've been born again, but verse 2 gives a little clarity of who he's including in there. 1 Peter 1:2. You can keep your Bibles open to that passage. We'll be there for the remainder of the time today. It says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Who has been born again? It says those who the Lord knew were going to receive Him. Those who called upon Jesus. Those who said, Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I know that I've messed up. And I ask you to forgive me because of what you did on the cross. You understand, Jesus didn't die for His sins. He died for ours. He died for mine, you understand. He died for yours. We need to receive this gift of forgiveness through Christ. It impacts our past. I mean, our past sins. They're dealt with because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, you've obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of the power of the blood that we can be forgiven. You understand, God is a holy God. Who ever messed up? I see a show of hands this morning. Who's ever done anything wrong that would constitute a sin? If you got your hand down, either it don't work or you're lying this morning, right? I'll put two up, to be honest with you, right? Who's ever done anything wrong? Listen, the Bible says that we cannot go to heaven and be with God if we've done anything wrong. Why? Because God is perfect. He doesn't do anything wrong. Is God mean? No, we just can't be with Him. Remember, Adam and Eve kicked out because they had sin. They couldn't be with God anymore. That's why they were kicked out. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, both God and man, died in our place, that through Him, through the blood, as we just read, through Christ, through praying and receiving His forgiveness, we can be with God again. Everything that we've done wrong, the Lord erases. He doesn't use white out. He uses the blood of Christ. And it's not covered up. Listen, it's gone. That's the good news of Christianity. Who's ever done anything wrong? Listen, I have. Who's ever done anything that you just wish you didn't do and you would take it back? I have. But you know what? When we stand before God because of the forgiveness that comes from Him, it's just as if we've never sinned. He forgives us completely and wholly. The resurrection impacts our past. Amen. Is that good? I'm sorry. Sometimes I have funny stories. Today I don't have any funny stories. But you want to get home anyway, so we're just going to cut to the chase and go and have a great day. But listen, we're not done. Hallelujah. The next part, the resurrection impacts our future. It impacts our future. Let's continue on. Verse 3, we just read that. Look at the last snippet of verse 3 into verse 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If yours is a little different, it's close. But just to give you a heads up, it says this, now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Let's just do that again. Let's jump back a little bit further in verse 3. Because God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, now we have this great expectation. This priceless inheritance kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. What does that mean? God has heaven in store for the believers, those who trust Him. It's beyond the reach of decay. We read that. Here's 2008 terms. Beyond the reach of the stock market. Right? Teetering, if you watch the news. Beyond the reach of oil prices. Right? Looking at the Daily Journal the other day. Listen, beyond the reach of the prices of wheat going up because of ethanol and we can't afford pasta anymore. Right? Almost, right? Listen, all those things we worry about, heaven is beyond that. It's beyond the reach of that. How about the bad flu that we've had? Heaven is beyond the reach of the flu. The Bible says that there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more sickness. No hopelessness, no despair. You won't have another need or another care. Are you going to be bored in heaven? Are you kidding? Fantastic. The water, I guarantee, will be bluer than any cruise you would ever see. Because there will never have been an oil spill on the waters of heaven. Right? Imagine the taste of strawberries. Sweet. Jersey tomatoes are great. Heaven tomatoes? Are you kidding? In heaven, I'm getting a platter. Salt and pepper? No high blood pressure in heaven. Am I right? I'm right. You know, I'm a little bit lighthearted, but listen, I'm being serious. Heaven is an awesome place for those who trust in the Lord. How about those who don't trust in the Lord? See, God has the best for those of us who do. Those who don't, you have to go someplace you're not even supposed to go. There's only one option. It's either in heaven with Jesus or it's in hell forever. Hell wasn't created for people. That's why you don't want to go there. It wasn't created for you. It was created for the devil. It was created for the demons. It was created for all those. Unfortunately, the deal is those who they betray and deceive and they refuse to walk across the bridge of Christ into heaven, they fall into the pit of despair forever. Where Jesus says the fire never dies, the worm never stops eating. Harsh, right? If it wasn't true, I wouldn't share that with you today. But it's true. But for those who believe, oh my, that bridge is so awesome. We see the bridge, we take it, Christ through Him, we get to heaven. Listen, the resurrection, it totally changes our future. Boy, does it ever impact our future. We don't just die and stay in the grave. It impacts our future greatly. Perhaps you're here today and say, you know, I don't believe in any of this stuff. I'm just here because, you know, family wanted to drag me out. Listen, for your sake, if you think you just die and you stay in the cold ground, for your sake, I hope you're right. Truth is, I'm not even almost willing to wager my salvation on it. You understand? I hope you're right. I know you're not. If you're right, you're fine. If you're wrong, it's a whole nother deal, you understand. The Creator of the universe provided a way to everlasting life. That impacts our future. We need to receive the gift from Calvary and from the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ in the past gives the believer bright hope for the future. Tomorrow's bright. Tomorrow's bright if you're a believer. We don't worry about the stock market. We don't. I don't watch the weather because they're always wrong. My dad says, hey, you watch what's going to happen. I have no idea. I don't watch the weather. Just no, nothing spiritual about it. I just get bored because it's not right. I get excited, put on my snow boots, and then it like never snows like yesterday. But listen, our hope for the future is based on something greater than the weatherman. Hallelujah. It's based upon the God-man. Last thing today. The resurrection impacts our lives today. I almost use the word it impacts our present because it matches. But listen, it impacts our daily lives. Our lives today are impacted because of the resurrection. We just read everything up to verse 5. Look at verse 5. This is the last thing and we're moving on. It says, and through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Once again, verse 5 says, through your faith, through trusting in Jesus, as trusting in Jesus is the bridge to all eternity. God is what? Protecting you by His power. By His power. Until you get to heaven, God is protecting you. Listen, the resurrection is for today. I love this passage. It's my new favorite passage. God is there in the past. He's there for tomorrow. Peter says, look, right now God is at work protecting you. That same power that rose Christ from the dead is at work in your life. Who needs that power? Listen, I do. Who drove here today, or you were in a car? All of us did, unless you're sleeping out by the bush or something. We all got here. Listen, we were kept safe today. Have you ever seen crazies on the road? I have. Personally, I think there's even more north you get in Jersey into New York. Just my personal opinion. Although I knew quite a few Pennsylvania people who are just flat out nuts too. Delaware people are nuts too. Listen. Jesus protects us. Jesus protects us. We just saw in the opening video all kinds of stuff that Jesus does. Here's a few. It's not an all-consuming list by any stretch. It's a few of the things I thought of. For those who call upon Him, Jesus is our protector. He will protect and take care of us. For those who call upon Him, He is your Savior. You will get everlasting life if you call upon Him. He's here today to offer you salvation if you've never received Him. For those who call upon Him, He is your guide. We need to know where to go in life. Jesus is your guide. Listen, no self-help book is going to help you nearly as much as Jesus. For those who call upon Him, He is your leader. He is the one we need to follow. We don't follow anybody else. I know the elections are coming up. Who are you voting for? I'm not going to tell you who you're voting for. But I'll tell you what. For me, position of king of all kings is way over president. You understand? Jesus is our leader, our ultimate leader. He is, if you will, the master of all creation. He is the one I follow. For those who call upon Him, He is your leader. This one's good. Ready? For those who call upon Him, He is your healer. He is your healer. If you don't know, listen, you doubt God at least twice in this building. In the past year and a half, we had people diagnosed with cancer and we prayed and they went to the hospital and it was healed. Do you hear me today? At least twice it was certified, like it's on the list. Right, Sheila? Right? Doris, raise your hand. Fox Chase Hospital said Doris had cancer. Right? We prayed. Was it a real good prayer? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, God heard it. It's not me, it's God. Reached down in this room. In fact, I'll never forget. Sheila, you were here right around where you are now. And we were praying for you on a Sunday night. Pray, my mom, they're saying it's cancer. It's cancer. She's going back for a second opinion. Let's pray. We prayed, no cancer. Praise the Lord. Another time, right up front, same thing. Someone said it's cancer. We prayed, no cancer. Am I right? Would you mind? Maria, raise your hand. Maria was the second person. That's real, folks. Do you hear me today? That's what Easter means. Oh my gosh! The resurrection impacts our present. Jesus is here today and He heals. Is it me? No. Did I charge them? No. The flakes on TV are crazy. Don't send them your money to get healed. No. Jesus is here. He's able to provide. We just pray. We just trust because God is bigger than any of us. It's real. I understand people abuse it. I understand they make us skeptical. But listen, God is real and He's healing in this little brick building. Amen? And out in the world today. Amen? And it's not just here. It's all over the world. God is the healer today and He's working. Listen, for those who call upon His name, He is the provider. Who has needs in life? Can I see your hand? Jesus is the provider. What are the streets made out of in heaven? Gold. He is able to kick down a few nuggets of asphalt. Lord, give me some asphalt. Right? Am I right? He is the provider. We need to trust Him. Listen, I don't say that as a brochure kind of thing. I know waiting for the Lord, things are scary. I know our problems are real. Listen, we'll never doubt your problems, but I know they're only temporary because we serve a God who beat death, hell, and the grave, right? Your problems are temporary. Moving on quickly, He is our sanctifier. In other words, we try to live a good life. Listen, on our own, we can't. Jesus is the one who helps us live a good life through His Spirit. He's the one who takes care of us. He's our justifier. I said this earlier. He makes us just as if we've never sinned. We stand before God the Father and we're completely clean and whole because of the resurrection of Christ. He is our rock. In these unchanging times, listen, you can trust in Jesus. Build your life upon Him and you're going to be okay. You can weather the storms of life if we're based on the rock. He is our comforter. He is our comforter. If you're going through a time of loss, listen, on your own, you're not getting the comfort from the Lord and it's tough. Trust in Jesus. He is your comforter. He will help you through hard times. He will be there for you if you call upon Him. He wants to be. He is your best friend. If you reach out to Him, He is. He's your confidant. He's the one you can talk to. He is the source of your strength. How can I get through in life? He's the source of your strength. On your own, you're not going to be able to. Through Christ, you are. He is your courage. How do I get up and face my day? It's through Jesus alone. He is our courage. He is our source of wisdom. Who has difficult decisions, right, in life? He's the source of wisdom. Thank God I don't have to rely on myself. Wisdom isn't one of my gifts. I don't know, maybe. I'm just kidding. But listen, you know, if we're ever stuck in a dark situation, you don't know what to do. Jesus is your source of wisdom. He is the giver of life. Truth is, Philip Brooks said this, the great Easter truth is not that we are to live newly after death. That's not the great thing, he says. But we are to live new here by the power of the resurrection. Not so much to live forever, but we're to live more nobly now. It needs to change us now. The Christian man's faith must always be upon the resurrection. And in that glorious resurrection, he shall not only see continual joy and consolation, but also victory and triumph over all. Through the resurrection, victory and triumph over persecution, sin, death, hell, the devil, and all the other tyrants and persecutors of Christ and God's people. The tears and weeping of the faithful dry up, their wounds are healed, their bodies are immortal in joy, their souls forever praise the Lord. The resurrection says nothing is too hard for God. The resurrection is hard. Blaise Pascal, French everything, scientist, he's in your children's science textbooks, trust me, he's there. He said this, why is it so hard to believe in the resurrection? Isn't it harder that God created life in the first place? For God, it's real easy to just bring it back. And yet we struggle and we doubt the Almighty God. Listen, nothing is too hard for Him. Last thing we're going to look at, if you have your bulletins, look in, when you first open it up. I'm going to read this passage from A.W. Tozer. It's at the bottom underneath of the picture of Jesus rising from the tomb. We're just about ready to go, but I want you just to look at this passage and then we're going to pray and go out. But A.W. Tozer said this, I cannot give in to the devil's principal deceitful tactic which makes so many Christians satisfied with an Easter celebration instead of experiencing the power of Christ's resurrection. He says, you know what, I can't give in to this tactic of let's celebrate Easter instead of living and experiencing Christ's resurrection in our life. You understand, it's for us to experience, not just for us to talk about. He goes on, it is the devil's business to keep Christians mourning and weeping with pity beside the cross instead of demonstrating that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. He said, the devil wants you to stay on Good Friday. The devil wants you to watch The Passion, which we were going to do the other night. Good movie. But he wants you to stay there and actually miss the last 3 minutes of the film. He wants you to see Jesus crying and beaten and looking defeated. That's where he wants to keep you. Listen, it didn't end on Friday. It ended on Sunday. It isn't over yet. It didn't even end on Sunday morning, but it started again on Easter Sunday morning. We're not going to be people that just stay at the cross. We go to the tomb and we look and see the body wasn't there. He says, let's demonstrate that Christ is risen. He is risen. The resurrection impacts everything. Why? I think tonight or last night on ABC, they had junk on the real Jesus. I don't even watch the stuff. The Bible scholar is the guy, out of 100 Bible scholars, there's like 3 that don't believe any of it. They interview those 3. Why would that happen? Because the devil wants to target the church. Because this is so life-changing. It's true. Sounds super spiritual? Let me know when Uncovering the Real Buddha comes on and I'll watch it with you. I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen them attack Buddha or attack Muhammad. I haven't seen that, but all I ever see is attacking Jesus and attacking the resurrection with pseudo-intellectuals. Why? Because this is damaging news for the gates of hell. The resurrection impacts everything. It changes our lives. Bow your head with me. We're going to close in prayer at this time. That's Rick, right? Okay, thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, listen, I'm not going to prolong this. If you're here and you've never received Christ, today is your day. It's not by coincidence that you ended up here. If you've never received Christ, today you can experience the power of the resurrection, but you need to do something. You need to call out to the Lord. You need to admit your sins. You need to just fess up, come clean, say, Jesus, I've messed up. You've seen it. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I want to go to heaven, as Pastor Jim talked about. I want to experience the power of the resurrection. Work in my life. Forgive me. Help me to live for you. And then give me the assurance of heaven. If you pray that today, the Lord will save you right now. I know He will because His Word promises that. I'm just going to ask real quick, just for a second. I'm not going to belabor it. If you're here today while every head is bowed, I'm not going to call you up. But I'm going to lead us all in a prayer from this place. And if you're here and you say, I want to commit my life to Christ, I need that today. With every head bowed, I'm going to ask you just for a second, slip up your hand. We're not going to be here all day. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there another this morning? I see that hand. There's one. Is there another? I'm not going to call you out, but it's time to get right with God. This can be the best Easter you've ever had. Hallelujah. Is there another hand this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you for the hand. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Listen, I want to encourage all of us here. If we've already committed our lives to Christ, listen, let's just go ahead and pray this and reaffirm our position today. And thank the Lord, we have someone going to meet Jesus here this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the resurrection. I thank You for the power that was showed that day. Jesus, thank You for dying for me. Thank You for taking the punishment for my sin. I ask You, Lord, to forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood of Christ. Forgive me. I repent of my sin. I change the direction of my life and follow You. Help me to become a disciple of Yours. and follow you every day. Give me the assurance of heaven. And thank you for saving me. And forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't He? He is good. The Word is clear. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's just. He forgives us of all of our sins. Cleanses us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. He does. We come to Him. He forgives. That is as real as anything is in your life. If you've committed your life to Christ for the first time today, listen. He wants to work in your life. He really does. Serve Him. Live for Him. In the back, can I see this for a second? In the back, these Bibles will be back on the table. Some of our people are just using them for the service. They're going to put them back. Listen, if you receive Christ today, I want you to take one of these home with you. It's our gift to you. And study it and get into the Word of God. A great place to start is the book of John. Get into the book of John in the New Testament near the back, and God will speak to your life.